Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Don't Kill the Messenger. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to become a best-selling author. And I have a very special person here today, Trina, who's really going to dive into this for us and really talk about it. And I'm going to even pick her brain just a little bit to see how I can make my book offer even better. So before we begin, if you're looking to generate never-ending leads and you might be thinking, I don't have time or everything is great right now, then just know in a couple of months that is going to change and we need to always be generating leads. So if you're looking to generate never-ending leads, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of The Complete Automation Strategy, the same four phases we take our private clients through to create that system that generates never-ending leads on demand. Now, today I have Trina. Welcome, Trina. How are you doing?
Hi, Victor. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Quarantined, but great.
Right? Yeah. At the time of this recording, we're in the midst of all of this. And it's just just incredible with what people are doing right now, how they've adjusted, how they've pivoted, how they're doubling down on certain things. And I know having a book definitely helps with all of that because it always creates that credibility piece. And I know that's something, I didn't want to take that away from you, but I know that's something you would be talking about to start off.
You're absolutely right. A book does scream credibility and expertise, which is what you want when you are selling your business or promoting your business or yourself. Absolutely. And it also offers a little social proof, like, wow, this person wrote a book. He must be good. People are buying it. Wow, the book must be good. So it's a fantastic tool to use either as a lead magnet or as a gift or, I mean, a million other things that you can use it as. How do you use your book, Victor?
That's a great question. So I do use it on my front end, right? As you heard at the very beginning, I use it as a free offer. I do a just cover shipping so I can send it anywhere to you. And that allows me to just, you know, you're helping me out by covering shipping, but I'm giving you the book for free. It retails at about $12 or so on Amazon. So you can find it and you can buy it there yourself if you have Amazon Prime and get it sent to you in a couple of days. Or you can get it for free and just cover the small shipping it cost me to send it over to you. That's how I use it on my front end because I want to get the book in as many people as possible.
Right. And another way that you can use your book, and you probably already do this, is have information that leads the readers to you, to your website, either in the front matter or the back matter. And those terms are kind of authory terms, but the front matter is when you first open up a book, all that stuff, in addition to the copyright page and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you can have an entire page that says, hey, check out my blah, 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 whatever it is, and direct them to a website or to another free gift, whatever you're doing. And then again, in the back matter, and that's all of the content that you have in the back, the about the author page and other books written by Victor page and other websites and things like that where you want to send the readers. So I encourage authors to put it in both places. Well, you could even scatter it in the middle of the book as well.
Yeah, and that's something I do. So the book is literally meant to be somewhat of a workbook, and it walks you through those four phases when we take it. So the whole idea of it is to, and I've learned this from one of my mentors, Dean Jackson, an old school marketer, and he says you turn invisible prospects visible. They obviously want this problem solved and this will help them do it. Now, the issue, I have a specific opinion about how books work. I literally give you everything. I didn't hold anything back. However, I also expect a lot of people not to finish the book. So through that, knowing that, I feel like people will definitely either get stuck somewhere. And throughout the book, I point to resources like you mentioned that allow them to keep that momentum going. But I know there's a ton of other ways to use books as well.
There are. And actually, you made a really good point. And sadly, when someone buys a book, they're very enthusiastic. They want it, obviously, but life happens. And so a very small percentage of people actually finish the book, even if the book is brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that's why I encourage people to put in the front matter, the contacts, the websites, and the places where you want to direct people. So that's really smart that you did that. And then if you can scatter it a little bit in the middle, that's good too. Some people will flip to the end specifically to learn more about the author or to see other books written by the author, that kind of thing. But to your question, your book can be used a million different ways. You mentioned it's like a business card, really. You can hand somebody a physical product and people think that's really cool. It's a tangible answer to their problem, right? And that's what we're trying to do, is convince people that we have the answer or the solution to their problem. So if you hand them a physical product, they're like, wow, my answer is in this piece of this product here on my hand or in my, you know, whatever. Anyway, so it can be also used as a gift, just, you know, as a valued customer, I want to gift you this book. And so it might be later on in that nurture sequence funnel that you've established with a customer. So maybe you didn't use it as a lead magnet, but later on as a special gift. Books can also be wrapped into online courses. So it's so easy to talk a book nowadays. Some people are like, oh, but I can't write, I don't know, but they can speak. And so there's so many tools, including the free dictate tool on your Word document. You just click the dictate button and you start talking. And then, you know, later you could send it to an editor if you thought you didn't speak eloquently or something. And then you turn that into an ebook, and then you can turn it back into a course. And it can go both ways. For example, I have created courses and then run the video sequences, for example, through like rev.com or Descript, and it turns it into text. And, you know, so you can turn the video course into an ebook, or I've also done it the opposite way where, you know, I've written the book and then I turned it into a course. So then you've got another product that you can sell. And oftentimes, well, when you're going through that process, you can also quickly spin that into an audiobook. And Victor, right now, audiobooks are outpacing written books. So you really should have both. But when you've got the audio and the video and the written version, you've got several products. And then, of course, you can repurpose them into blog posts and newsletters, and, you know, use it in so much of your marketing. And if it's visual, for example, of course, you can spin it off into social media posts and on and on and on. Those are just a few things.
And that's, I love that, because it's true. At the time of this recording, with everyone still being on like the safer at home, most people are like listening to podcasts, they're listening to audiobooks, they're like all of those services like Audible are providing, they're opening up their doors. And I mean, that's their marketing prey, right? They're getting people to get accustomed to using their product. So when they charge again, they're going to be like, oh, well, we're going to take it away if you don't pay, type of deal. But that is great to get people listening to you because they hear your voice, they hear the way you talk. And if that resonates with them, then allows you to, you know, again, you're doing the same thing, getting them used to hearing you, getting them used to learning from you. And it's just helping them build that habit until as you elevate them through the process, right? So I love that you mentioned that. And that's something that's interesting, because I have an audio version of this, but I don't necessarily advertise it. And it's making me second guess it now to really push it out there.
You definitely should push it out there, Victor, because there's another little known secret about audiobooks. Audible in particular, they have something called a bounty. So anytime you bring a new customer to Audible, because they've bought your audiobook, Audible will pay you a $75 bounty for bringing that new customer to them. So you can give away your audiobook and still get $75. You know, a lot of authors will just sell their book for 99 cents on Kindle. And then you have to get 75 customers buying it at 99 cents, or you can find one new Audible customer, boom, you've got a $75 bounty. So it could be very profitable as well. And I love the point that you brought up that you get people used to hearing your voice. And you, I know you teach this, that customers need to know you before they can like you, before they can trust you. Yep. And that relationship formula is so crucial for people to, before people will say, here's my credit card, right? That I'm investing in you and hoping that you do have the solution to my problems or whatever.
Right. And that makes absolute sense. So I know there's a lot more to it than that. And then like things that I don't even know that I know you help people with to really get to that best-selling mark. Is there a specific purpose for becoming a bestseller, or is that kind of like some people need it, some people don't?
That's a really interesting question. I think just simply having a book extends that credibility, like we mentioned at the very beginning. Having a best-selling book just bumps that level of credibility up even more, really. And people, authors, love to be able to brag and say, I'm a best-selling author. Nobody's going to ask to see proof. Nobody, you know, if you're saying I'm a number one best-selling author on Amazon, nobody wants to see the screenshot or the certificate or whatever. Yeah. I mean, obviously it should be true, but people just take your word for it. And if you're a New York Times bestselling author, that absolutely adds clout. But if it's not a bestselling author, that's okay. You can just say, hey, I'm an author. I wrote this book, and people will still be like, wow, that's cool. Because I think everybody has a book inside them. I think everybody secretly would love to say that they're an author. And so few people actually put their fingers on the keyboard and make it happen. And so it's impressive alone just being a published author. So don't feel bad if you can't say you're not bestselling. In other words.
Yeah, because, so I mean, I ask because I was just out of curiosity, right? I was curious to see what the reason was for people wanting to be a best-selling author. Cause I mean, that's not my goal. If it happens, great. My goal is elsewhere. And again, it's that lead generation on the front end for me. I'm able to help more people by doing that, but then that's because also I think the best-selling author part, you have to sell it via those other platforms, correct?
Well, you know, that's a really great question, because the term bestseller or best-selling author is kind of vague. I mean, best-selling where? With your specific publisher?
Right.
On Amazon? On the New York Times list? You know, I mean, you could be a best-selling author from your publisher if you're going like with a traditional publishing house. So it's kind of vague, really.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, because like I made quite a few sales from it, but they've been from directly from our website. They've not been from the Amazon. I've had like a handful of them from Amazon, but I don't promote that. I tell people you can get it there. Like I mentioned, you can get it there at full price, but I give it to you free on my page. You just cover shipping. So technically I'm not selling anything. So, you know, it becomes like this whole, which is interesting to think about. It is a vague term. And I've had a lot of people download it and have it sent directly to them for that. So help me understand then what those steps are that you take people through to really get them to that point, or to really talk about like how they use it in their overall marketing.
Okay. So I work with a variety of different types of authors, fiction and nonfiction, but also those who are working to launch their very first book, they don't know anything, as well as established authors who have several books out, but they're just not seeing the sales that they want. And honestly, authors want to write. That's what they do. They're writing because they have this passion, and marketing is kind of an afterthought. So right. I can certainly help them with the actual writing of the book, but my expertise is really getting it out, pushing it out, marketing it, launching it, or possibly, I've got several authors that I'm working with right now that they have rebranded, or honestly, they didn't even have a brand. And I said, well, that's one of the big problems you got going is you've got a brand so that people through an image or a word instantly know who you are, what you do, possibly what problem you solve if you're nonfiction or, for example, I have one author and she just pumps out romance, historical romance, mm-hmm. but she didn't really have a logo or an image. And we found, I said, well, tell me about your authors. I mean, your readers, what is it they, why did they come to you? And she said, well, because they're clean, but the women mostly predominantly who buy the books just want to escape. And I said, okay, let's look for escaping images. And we found this awesome image with a woman laying on the beach, reading the book. And you see this picture and you're instantly like, that's what I want.
Yep.
And so the cover of your book is obviously really important because it sells an idea. But your brand as an author also should sell that idea. And it should be congruent with everything you do across social media, you know, your blog, your website, your podcast, whatever you do, uh-huh. so that you've got a message that people instantly can grasp. Did I answer your question?
I love it. And that really adds to that having people fall in love with you, right? Because that's once they start to see that congruence all around, it really starts to, there is such a lean in. Again, you get them used to listening and following and paying attention to you that they start to know you, they start to like you, then they do start to trust you. And just like you mentioned earlier, so I know you kind of have something like a process you take people through to really get to intentionally do that. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, well, two parts. So the first part is the whole concept of a marketing funnel and a strategy mm-hmm. is very foreign to all of the authors that I work with. They also are very creative, so they don't have a clear-cut strategy. They need to be told, this is what we're doing today. This is what you're doing tomorrow. These are the action steps to get us and through this, creating this marketing funnel. So the very first thing we do is establish who their avatar is. And I know you teach your audience about that. Mm-hmm. Who is the target audience? And wherever that target audience is determines everything about your marketing, where you're going to market, how you're going to market, the language, the colors, the imagery, everything, right? So the first thing we do is start creating that brand that's designed to specifically speak to that market. But the second part of your question, I think, is referring to this business romance checklist, which is a special gift I have for your audience that is listening or watching. And so actually I have two gifts for you because I love you so much, Victor. So the first is your reader's going to get this business romance checklist, 7 ways to get your clients to fall in love with you by over-delivering value. And then the second is just a brainstorm of 100 marketing ideas that any business can use. So of course, authors can use it, but any business, any entrepreneur who's constantly faced with this dilemma and challenge of how do I market? How do I get more leads, right?
Right.
So did you want me to tell you some of the items on the checklist? Do we have
Absolutely.
Time?
Go for it.
Okay. So because I work with a lot of fiction authors who are very creative, I have 30 published nonfiction books. I have a very didactic brain and I just think like a nonfiction author. But these fiction authors are super creative. And so I thought, okay, I need to teach them in a more creative way. So that's why I came up with this little romance checklist. So imagine how you would approach dating, for example. And it's the mm-hmm. same way that you would approach marketing. So I know you're married and your videos on your Facebook page are adorable as you guys have been like trapped in quarantine and stuff. I've been getting a kick out of watching those. But anyway, and by the way, one of my sons and I wrote a dating book together, and then he spun that off and developed a really successful dating app. But that's a whole other story. Yeah. So there's another way that you can use your book is spin it off into an app. And he's got this massive company now. I'm so proud of him. And it all started with a little dating book. Okay. But back to this, the dating idea. So first, imagine if you're single, what mm-hmm. did you do to attract people? So of course, how you dressed, how you spoke, mm-hmm. right? I mean, people judge on physical appearances. Right. And online marketing is the same, as well as offline marketing. And so that's why I said you need a brand that has an image that instantly gives a message. And of course, the message that you want to share, but one that speaks to that target audience. So just quickly, they can see what that is. So look at your business as if you were imagining yourself dating. Would you want to date yourself? You know, like, would you want to do business with yourself? Would you be attracted, you know, to the message that you're putting out there? So I have to put on my glasses now so I can read my own 7 points that I wanted to say. No, so of course you have to be, you know, authentic, but especially look at your social media, you know, and would people be attracted to you? Are you proud of that? Or could you use a little tweaking, you know, iron out some of the clothing that you're presenting? Were you going to say something?
No, I was saying, like, and I mean, I understand what you're getting there with the whole dating. It's funny that you say you look at it, because that's something relatable to anybody, and everyone will either go through it or has gone through it at some point in time. So they understand that analogy. I love that you're using that. It's funny because I feel like all of us marketers have a specific like storyline or the way we like stories that how we wrap these lessons in. Because I use this all the time. I talk about cookies and milk. And just because like I'm a 4-year-old and a 4-month-old. So I talk about it all the time, and it's really hyper relevant to that scenario. In the case of like, I offer my daughter a cookie, see if she wants it. If you were to walk up to somebody in on the street and you say, hey, do you want to put your hand in this box? They'd probably say, no, I don't know you. I don't know what's in there. I'm not going to do that. Whereas if you walk up to them and say, hey, do you want a cookie? It's just, and then you offer them a box, just, and then they might say yes. They're like, oh yeah, I'll take a cookie. Because now they know what's inside. And then as soon as they're like, hey, do you want some milk with that? We're actually giving away some milk at this free coffee shop that we're right in front of. And I talk about, that's how I think of lead gen all the time, right? You're turning invisible people visible by saying like, oh yeah, I want that problem solved. And then you make a congruent offer. But yeah, I love that you're using the dating analogy.
Well, and what you just shared is the Costco approach, right? People don't just shove food in your face and say, buy this thing. Would you like a sample? Uh-huh. And I also look at your book as a sample. So in your case, you're giving away a free sample so that hopefully they want to buy the full product or the full series of services or whatever, you know, whatever the company is that you have. So I love the Costco approach. I think it works really well. And a book is a perfect sample. Mm-hmm. So, all right. The second thing that I liken to dating is to think like your customer. So really, who is it that determines your value as a company? Mm. Well, I could have a bazillion dollar company because it's worth that much. But if the customer doesn't value it, it's really not worth that much, right? So it's the customer that determines your value. Just like in dating, you might say, I'm the hottest thing ever. But if you're, you know, the girls out there are like, no, not so much, then you don't have that value.
That makes sense.
So, you know, you've got to obviously convince your customer what value that you have and what the benefits are. And also think about, how does your customer buy something? Are they buying it because of go back to the cookie analogy. Is it for the convenience? Do they want that cookie because it's convenient, or the color of it? Or is it for comfort or speed or reputation? So a lot of times a mistake that I see that businesses make is they will talk about the features of their business rather than the benefits. For example, the classic example is people don't buy a shovel because they want a shovel. They buy a shovel because they want a hole, right? So you might say, well, this cookie has flour and sugar and salt and, you know, all of the things, the ingredients, those would be the features. That's not why somebody's buying a cookie, right? Yep. What is it? What are the underlying needs that the customer wants? So think about those benefits. And again, the problem that your service or products solve, or the qualities that girl is looking for in a guy when you're dating, right? So you
feature those. That makes absolute sense, yeah.
All right. And then we talked about social proof a few minutes ago.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
Establishing social proof. And I've got a statistic for you here. This is out of the Wharton School of Business. It says a customer that you acquire from word of mouth has 16 to 25% higher lifetime value than those that you find elsewhere. And ratings from Nielsen, you know, the famous Nielsen ratings, they found that 84% of consumers trust recommendations from friends and loved ones, making it the most effective kind of marketing. So this is a technique that my son teaches in our book, but when he does other stuff with his app and he's teaching guys especially, he said one of the best little tricks for social proof when you're dating is walk in a room with a girl on each arm. Now, that tells all the other girls, whoa, what am I missing here? You know, obviously the other girls think this guy's awesome. And another strategy is like a wingman. The wingman goes up to a bunch of girls and says, let me tell you about my son Cooper and how awesome he is. Yeah, and they're like, oh, and then they're flirting and they're hearing about how awesome Cooper is, you know. But if a girl says that too, then the girls are like, really? Wow. So think in terms of that type of social proof with your business.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like for example, Victor, I'm going to be interviewing you in May on one of my YouTube channels. So I'm going to be saying, Victor's amazing. Check out Victor. And then people go, oh, well, we know Trina wouldn't tell us about somebody who was terrible. So he must be really great. Right?
And exactly. That's true. And I know we're kind of wrapping up on time here, but I know definitely that those couple of things that you just mentioned are great ways to think about it, right? If we're not providing that social proof, if we're not having I have this whole JV strategy that I talk about. I'll actually be talking about on our upcoming webinar. It's a video summit, but that in itself is the best form of marketing. Just like you said, you know, like if I were to show up on an ad with you to your audience that says like, you guys got to check out Victor, your audience who knows, likes, and trusts you already automatically assumes and understands that you wouldn't be doing that had you not known, liked, and trust me as well. And it only makes sense. So it makes sense to start paying attention. It's easier to transition to that person and start listening to them as well. And I love that. That's definitely a key insight there for everyone listening.
Yeah. And so we call them joint ventures, I think, in the online world as well. But you know, what's kind of cool is I'm just a teeny bit older than you. Back in the day when dinosaurs roamed the world, you kind of looked at people who were in your industry as competition. Uh-huh. And that has really changed. Now you look for people in your industry and you do these joint ventures, and these opportunities raise both boats. I'm mixing all kinds of metaphors, but anyway, so I love that. I absolutely love that people have more of a sharing mentality now. So I highly recommend that. And it's an absolute social proof formula.
Yeah, no, I love it. I know before we kind of wrap things up here, can you tell us where to go get those checklists, those freebies that you were just talking about, so they can get the full
version? We didn't have time. That's your little sneak peek into these 7 tips on your romance checklist. Uh-huh. And then also the 100 marketing ideas. So go to frombooktobusiness.com, and the 2 is the number 2, frombooktobusiness.com, and you'll be able to also add yourself to my newsletter list, where I'll give you even more information and free stuff. I love giving away free is my jam, actually. Anyway, you'll get those checklists, and I have another surprise. I didn't tell Victor what it is, but there's another freebie surprise, and you're really going to like that one.
Yeah, you got a little bit of everything. So head on over from book2business, the number 2.com, to get the romance checklist to help your audience fall in love with you intentionally and ethically. you know, not some kind of sleazy way, or we're not
kind of
love potions here. We're definitely making sure that they fall in love with you the right way so that they can become raving fans of you.
So it's true love, not one night. We're not talking one night stands. We want a long-term relationship with our customers, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thanks again, Trina, for coming on. You had a lot of good stuff here, a lot of gold nuggets for today. And now, before I forget, if you're ready to generate never-ending leads online using paid traffic, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of the Complete Automation Strategy, the same four phases we take our private clients through. Again, you can walk through this book and actually have the same result. Obviously, you won't have access to me, but you'll be able to at least follow that process that we take our private clients through to start that process to generate never-ending leads. And until next time, I'm Victor with VentoBot. See ya on the next episode.
Bye for now.
Cool.